While we're waiting for Brian, Nick, what were you doing when you heard that this trade went down?
I had just woken up.
Okay, awesome. So you're getting the eye boogers, the eye crust off of your lids.
And I'm going, oh man, okay, well, he's going to Philly. He ain't staying in Philly. And then 20 minutes later, I see the Woj tweet that says he may stay in Philly. And I'm like, what?
Bobby, what were you doing since you're on East Coast time?
I was in my car. Luckily, I didn't hit somebody when I'm checking my phone, and found the nearest Starbucks that had Wi-Fi.
Oh, okay. Responsible adult. I called Jackie to see if she was available when I found out. And when I finally got a hold of her, she had no idea what was happening. She was like, "Why do you want a podcast? Did something happen?" And I said, "Jimmy Butler got traded." She's like, "What? To where?" I was like, "Philadelphia." She's like, "What?"
Okay, I'm ready when you are. Hello and welcome to an emergency Hoop Collective podcast. I'm supposed to say my name. I'm supposed to say what else, Andrew?
Subscribe, rate, and review. Brian Windhorst and the Hoop Collective. An indictment on the podcast is an indictment on Brian.
That may help them. It's Saturday. We're not supposed to pod. We have a trade today. And so recruited in addition to Andrew Hahn, we have in Naples, Florida, our front office extraordinaire man, Bobby Marks, who has been through trades on Saturday mornings, I'm sure. And out in San Francisco, we have, or I guess Oakland. I want to be fair and honest, and I don't want to disturb the people in the East Bay because they get a little sensitive about that. In Oakland, in his new house, Tom Thibodeau expert, Nick Friedel. So Bobby, what was your first reaction to this deal? I mean, I can't believe anybody doesn't know what the deal is, but it's Jimmy and Justin Patton for Robert Covington, Dario Saric, and Jared Bayless, and a future second round pick.
Initial reaction, not surprised. And I think because of, if anybody watched Minnesota on Friday night against Sacramento, it was an absolute train wreck. I mean, it was, you got done watching and you thought, I don't know how Jimmy Butler can be on this team anymore, just how bad he was, especially in the fourth quarter. And I think if you watched Philadelphia Friday night against Charlotte, low that 20-point lead, and you start seeing teams in the East like Toronto and Milwaukee, Indiana, Boston, I'm sure we'll figure it out. You know, they've made a lot of ground on that Philadelphia team. So I thought that if Minnesota could just hold out from when Butler demanded the trade, which I think we're 2 months away from, that they could get a better deal than what Miami could have offered for Josh Richardson or Houston with those, you know, four first round picks. And I think they did. So not stunned, but I guess maybe a little bit caught off guard just based on a Saturday morning.
I'm just glad it's finally over for all involved because it was such a mess and it was so awkward. I just saw Tibbs and Jimmy and Taj Gibson and Derek and all the Timberwolves guys last week in Oakland. It's just uncomfortable. Like that thing never should have gotten to that point. Tibbs should have pulled the plug a long time ago, but I understand why he didn't, because he knows now that his team centers around Towns and Wiggins on max extensions, and that would terrify me too. So aside from the future for Minnesota, the most stunning part to me, guys, is that Woj's tweet came down about 15-20 minutes after the deal came down in regards to Jimmy and his agent and the 76ers have discussed a long-term extension in Philly.
Haven't discussed it.
Well, gone through it. Right, exactly. Yeah. In quotation marks. I mean, the conversations have obviously been had by the powers that be here. But that really surprises me because I knew Jimmy wanted to be in a big city, and I didn't think Philly was it. And I don't think he's going to want to ride – shotgun or take a back seat to anybody. So I am as curious as anybody as to how that marriage between Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and now Jimmy Butler is going to work moving forward here.
Well, Jimmy has sent so many crazy mixed signals back and forth during this whole process. Even if you read his interview that he did with Sam Amick from The Athletic after the game last night, it's a long Q&A. He's all over the place just within the interview. And I realize he's trying to hold some stuff back, but you know, it has been unclear to me whether or not this is about anything more than money or whether this is about frustration over the teammates or frustration over the organization has treated him. If it's about money, he will get the money. I mean, Bobby, wouldn't you think that if they were willing to go ahead with this deal that Philly did so knowing that they're going to have to offer him a 5-year max?
Oh, you had to have done your background on before with his agent Bernie Lee to kind of get some type of, yeah, I mean, it's a, you can't extend them, you know, basically we all know that you can't agree to anything just based on the rules. You go through the trade call and you can't agree on that. But yeah, I mean, to give up, Covington, who was under contract for, you know, another 3 years after this year, and Saric, who had a controllable contract, and then lose Butler for nothing this summer would certainly be reckless. So yeah, you have to have an understanding that it's going to be, you know, $190 million likely. And that is going to be your prized free agent addition. But you get him now in November and not in early July.
That's what I think, Nick. I mean, I think if the money is a factor, and it's also a team that is in a large market, and it's a team that in theory should be competitive. I mean, this is kind of what he wants. It may not have been his handpicked choice. He may have preferred to play for the Clippers or maybe the Heat or something like that. But I mean, they're going to be able to give him what he wants. But again, what he wants to me has been hard to discern from the way he's talked during this process.
Well, I think what has to get underscored here, B, is that Jimmy knew, going back to last season, that Towns and Wiggins were not good enough. If it was about winning, and I believe Jimmy enough to believe that he doesn't want to be stuck on some loser team, you know, for the next few years, although I think that's one piece, to your point, of many pieces in the Jimmy pie on the whole. He knew that team with those two guys on max deals were not the players that Tibbs and Jimmy and the rest of the Timberwolves thought they could be. So he knew he had to get out of there. But this ties back into now the future moving forward in Philly. I mean, I like Embiid a lot. Can he stay healthy? Well, we're going to see. Can Simmons turn into the shooter and the all-around player that everybody wants him to be? We'll see. But when I look at the Sixers team, I still think they're a notch below Boston. And this season with Kawhi, I still think they're a notch below Toronto. And on top of that, I just saw Milwaukee the other night just dominate the Warriors and Oracle. So they're on the way up in the short term as well. But, you know, there are so many different layers here. Do I think Jimmy's happy in the moment? Yes, absolutely. He's out of that situation in Minnesota. Do I think Jimmy's going to be happy long term in Philly? I don't know about that.
So Kevin Pelton gave the Sixers a C- for this deal. I think if I'm reading him correctly, he did it because he thought they should have included Fultz as opposed to Saric. Minnesota didn't want Fultz, clearly. To me, I think one of the things in talking to some executives early on, and you know, Bobby and I were just talking about this, I mean, within 30 seconds, I had two guys I respect in the league give me two exactly opposite opinions what Philly did in this deal. One of them said they loved it. One of them said they hated it. And, you know, you sometimes have that happen when people are analyzing moves in the league. But one of the reasons I think is for the intangibles here. And one of the intangibles, there's no doubt that Jimmy Butler is a terrific two-way player. And Philly got tougher and better on defense today, in my opinion. But there's potential chemistry issues. He had some chemistry issues in Chicago. He clearly had chemistry issues in Minnesota. And there are potential chemistry issues in Philadelphia. There's a lot of things that are unsaid there that are potential chemistry issues. And they also got a little bit weaker in the terms of shooting. And I now think that Philly may have to go out and look to do an ancillary deal with shooting. So, they get a star player. They definitely upgrade. And as Bobby said, they essentially did their free agency now. And I, in a lot of ways, I kind of like it. I think waiting on free agency has definitely hurt a team like the Lakers and potentially could hurt them again in the future. But I question the chemistry, and I'm not gonna, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know how he's going to get along with Embiid. I don't know how he's going to get along with Simmons. There's some gray area there. What do you think about that, Bobby?
Well, I think Brian, Philadelphia learned this past summer that free agents cap space doesn't mean anything. It really doesn't. You can go out and recruit LeBron or Paul George or any of these marquee guys, but unless you're, I guess the Lakers, and there haven't been many cases where a team goes out and lands that, but Golden State with Durant a couple years ago lands that marquee free agent. I think the question will be, what is next here? Where can you get, how your depth was already suspect with, you had Wilson Chandler, Mike Muscala. You have a bunch of, you got rookies on rookie deals. JJ either came off or started on for your team. So what's your next move? I think, holding on to Fultz, is he your lone asset that you have now, along with that Miami pick in 2021 here? So I think it's usually when there's a deal of this magnitude, there's always something that's kind of coming down the pike down the road. I think you'll be in a little bit of a honeymoon period right now with Butler in Philadelphia. I think the first game he'll play, I think Woj said, was probably Orlando on Wednesday. But I don't know I don't think it gets them closer to where Toronto is right now. Boston will eventually figure it out. Milwaukee, you've got three strong personalities now in that locker room with Embiid, Simmons, and Jimmy Butler.
Bobby, they still have an expiring contract of JJ Redick, which I doubt they would trade, but who knows?
And he has to approve it too, Brian.
Right.
And he's got 1 year, and he's got veto power. So that's a little tricky there.
All right. They have the expiring contract of Mike Muscala, right? He's non-guaranteed after this year.
Yep.
They have expiring contract of Wilson Chandler. And they've got, am I forgetting anybody?
No, I mean, they've got TJ McConnell, Furkan Korkma, guys like Justin Patton, who they just got in the trade. They've got their their room mid-level still, in case maybe there's a buyout guy, but that's not going to be till February. So there are some things there that they can possibly add with, but I just think you're going to see how these pieces kind of fit in the beginning.
Right. Well, because they gave up some shooting. They may need to go get some shooting. But, I think at the end of the day, Philadelphia, they've come a long, long way here. It's been a long journey, and the big three that they have that they're going to, sort of go with is Butler, Simmons, and Embiid. That seems to be the way they're going to go. And, 3 years ago, if you said that's where you were going to be, I don't know if they'd feel that way. I mean, there's a lot of, gathering up of assets to arrive at this point. And, it's good. I just don't know if it's great. And especially because of the match between Simmons and Fultz and Embiid. I mean, it's an imperfect trio there for various reasons, and one of which is that they can't shoot. So, but I mean, I do think Jimmy will make them better. For Minnesota now, Nick, so I would assume that, Covington and Saric, I mean, and how do they fit in the lineup? I mean, they are quality players and they got some assets, and, Sarge has upside. Covington is on a very nice contract. How do you think this looks for Minnesota now?
They still have Towns and Wiggins on max deals, B.
Well, Towns' max deal is not even is 15 minutes old. So,
right,
yeah.
Right. I mean, as I watched this team last year, as I watched them this year, I understand that, they should be happy with Covington's deal. Okay, Saric is a nice player. Towns and Wiggins are on max deals. I mean, Wiggins is not a max player, and Towns offensively is incredibly gifted, but defensively, and there are too many times already this year where he just kind of disappears in games. Max players can't disappear in games. As far as it goes for the Timberwolves, I would say a couple prayers for my man Tibbs long term, because if they don't make the playoffs, I think he is long gone.
It's kind of strange.
The roster's going to have to turn over.
That's gone on with Timberwolves is you know, we saw it the other night. Andrew and I were with the Wolves all day. That podcast is up on, you know, with our all day kind of, it was kind of with the Lakers and Timberwolves, but basically we were with the Wolves. You know, Derrick Rose has been playing great. He had a great game that night. We were with him in L.A. But Bobby, as I'm watching that gameplay, like, Rose is pounding the ball and he's doing great stuff and everybody's happy. But Towns is not getting involved. Wiggins is not getting involved. And the team is losing. It's kind of reminding me of Derrick Rose from 2 years ago. He's playing better than 2 years ago because he's putting up these great numbers. But his team is losing. And it's kind of like the reason the Knicks walked away. Yeah, he had good statistical season, but he didn't help his team win. And so now you're looking at even more mouths that have to get fed with Covington and Saric. And I don't know if Derrick Rose – I don't know. I mean – it's a big win for them to get Derrick Rose on a minimum. I don't know. I mean, Jeff Teague is coming back from an injury. I'd kind of knock his playing time back down if it were me.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think when you watch them against the Clippers last night, Friday night against Sacramento, there's just a lot of standing around. And when you're committing $150 million plus to Carl Anthony Towns and the extension hasn't even kicked in, and he gets, you know, how many shots did he get the other night against, you know, against the Lakers? What, like less than 10 maybe? That's not good. And I think Teague will come back soon. I think it will be interesting what they do with the lineup. I mean, you know, you'll have Rose or Teague at the point, and you'll probably slide Wiggins to the two, I would think, and with Covington at the three, and then Saric or Gibson at the four there. So, gives them a little bit more, you know, versatility. But Nick, I'm looking at that Western Conference standings, and I don't see a path for this Minnesota team to kind of get into the playoffs this year. I really don't. I think the way that Tibbs saves his job is that they compete, they put out a product that, you know, that at least the fans get behind, and that ownership says, you know what, next year this could be a playoff team. But just taking a peek at that standings right now, I don't see that team as a playoff team.
Bobby, I agree with you completely. And it was going to be a struggle with the way they were going, even if somehow they kept Jimmy all season. This was absolutely the right move. It just came a few months too late for my liking. But as far as Tibbs, man, you talk to people in Minnesota. You see the way that team has played, and he's getting booed in introductions each night. I don't see, unless there is some kind of massive turnaround in the next few months, how Glenn Taylor is going to keep him in the fold. You know, and the hardest part for somebody that watched those old Bulls teams that gave everything they had every night, and played at a defensive level that was extremely high no matter who was on the floor. The weirdest part is the Timberwolves don't play defense for I mean, they, and this has been going on for several years now. This isn't a new issue. I mean, they don't seem to be picking up what Tibbs is trying to put down. So I think there are a lot of issues there that aren't going to get solved just because Jimmy is now gone. But I'm with you in the major point here. The Timberwolves this season, I'd be stunned if they got to the postseason.
Well, they're 4-9. They just had an 0-5 West Coast trip. From what I am told, they pretty much decided to make the deal after the Laker game. They told teams yesterday afternoon that they were going to make their decision on Saturday. There was a couple of teams that had some bids in. I'd like to say more, but I don't want to be aggregated. I spent this morning on the phone with people.
Not on a weekend, right?
I know. I can't be aggregated on the weekend when I'm under the weather. I just can't do it. Let's just say that Woj, Zach Lowe, and I were active this morning chasing stuff down. A couple of teams got a little antsy yesterday thinking, should we increase our offer? And I don't think that they did, essentially. So I want to talk real quick before we go about a couple of ancillary actions here. So, Bobby, where do you think this leaves the Wizards as you look at their roster, man, and where they are in the East now that Philly's done this?
Oh, man. They remind me a lot, Brian, of our 13-14 team in Brooklyn. They really do. I mean, I think we were a little bit more competitive. And The Orlando game, I've seen that, the game Friday night where they went up, they were down 24, and ironically, they got back in the game because Scotty Brooks took Dwight out, and Dwight was so bad guarding Vucevic that it gave him a chance when he went small ball. But I've seen this story so many times when teams get down big, make that run, and then wind up losing by 10 because that group out there just runs out of gas. Zach Lowe wrote about it extensively this week, that John Wall contract is a bear to move. And the interesting thing is the trade bonus. And we've gotten, you know, there's a lot of different and there's no really resolution from the league office or from the Players Association as far as what would happen if John Wall is traded, because his trade bonus impacts his Supermax contract for next year. Technically, you can't exceed the max, but he's not on he's, you know, still on a $19 million contract. So that is still up for debate, because the trade bonus would be $21 million that the Wizards would have to pay him if they're trying to move him right now. I mean, Bradley Beal,
which is
really
negotiable.
Which is negotiable. Yep, you can knock that down or you could waive it. You could do whatever you want. I mean, right now I look at the roster and really I look at Bradley Beal as really the one tradable asset. But there was a point in the Orlando game where it summed up their season so far, where Bradley Beal dunked on Evan Fournier down 20 and stared him down. And I'm thinking, this just sums up this Washington group right now, where you're doing stuff like that. But I think you've got to ride this out right now. I mean, I always look at a 20 game sample. Now we're 11 or 12 games in. I don't see Scotty Brooks getting fired. I mean, he's owed, you know what, 20 plus million still, you know, on that contract. If anything, I think you have to start looking at that front office that's gone through four or five coaches since Ernie Grunfeld's been there, but that's something that you probably wouldn't see until after the season.
I agree, and it's not, I don't know. The Wizards, I remember, they did a midseason rebuild. They were able to make the Gilbert Arenas trade midseason. They kicked a rebuild off there. But that was in the wake of, or that was it, oh no, was it Rashard Lewis? Was it Lewis or? I don't remember, but they were able to sort of, but that was in the wake of the Gilbert Arenas suspension that, I mean, Ernie has rebuilt this team before and tanked before when they got John Wall 10 years ago. I've seen it happen, but I just don't know if it makes some sense right now, as you said, Bobby. So the Wizards are a team I'm watching, and as you mentioned, Wall is complicated. I think Bradley Beal is an interesting name to see what happens as we go forward here, whether or not he becomes available on the market, because as bad as the situation was in Minnesota, from what I understand, and obviously what you can see, the situation in Washington is now quickly approaching that level. So that'll be the next team to watch. What about Minnesota and Philadelphia ancillary deals? Minnesota now has an extra point guard. Jared Bayless is there. He's injured right now, but he's a somewhat of an asset. And then Philly, I think, needs more shooting. What do you guys see potentially happening there? I mean, what's the fallout? What are the teams talking about right now?
Well, I mean, I think for Minnesota, I would be surprised if Bayless gets waived, because you hit it right on the head. I mean, it's an $8.6 million trade chip that you can use right now. I think for Minnesota, you're in a holding pattern just to see how these guys see how this roster fits right now. And I think what will happen is that when you get closer to the trade deadline, what your roster is going to be dictates what happens to Taj Gibson, who's in the last year of his contract. Is there a playoff team out there that could use him? I certainly would think so. And then with Philly, I mean, they've got they've got that, as we've talked about, they've got that extra roster spot and they've got that mid-level exception. I just think that the Butler's trade is so rare, because we're in November and usually teams wait until post December 15 to make moves, just because the playing field opens up. So I think both teams are going to kind of sit on their hands, take a deep breath, and let's see what each team has, and then address it probably post Christmas here.
Bobby, the more I've mulled this over as we've been talking and going through the roster machinations here, I don't blame Philly and Elton Brand for swinging for the fences here with Jimmy. I just flatly don't think they're good enough. And if you're committing to Jimmy now on this max extension moving forward, or going to try to, you know, once you can start officially communicating, people kind of forget. Jimmy, the last few years, he's hurt for like a month every year with something different. And he has played as
general soreness.
Yeah, right, right. But he's played a ton of minutes, a ton of Tibbs minutes. So you're now investing in Jimmy long term with a guy in Embiid who has a history littered with different injuries, and Simmons, you know, he missed that first season as well. I just, where the East is and where it's going with Boston and again Toronto in the short term, and Milwaukee if they can put another piece or two around Giannis, I just don't think that core of Embiid, Simmons, and Jimmy is going to be enough to get it done. You need more depth than they got, and I don't think you can get the pieces that are going to fit.
Bobby, would you have liked the Miami offer for Minnesota better, which was Josh Richardson, one of their big contracts? I don't remember if it was Olenek or – what was it? It was Olenek?
Yes.
But it was Olenek. Josh Richardson, one of their big contracts, Olenek, I guess, and a first-round pick. Do you like that better or worse for Minnesota at this point?
I like it for Minnesota. I'm a big Josh Richardson guy, and I like his contract. I mean, it's one of the better ones in the NBA, for $42 million. You know, you got to take back a contract, you know, as we said, in the Linux, who's actually played better of late. So yeah, I do like that, but I'm okay with Saric and Covington, just because they're controllable contracts. I did not like what the Houston deal, because, you know, four first round picks were likely going to be in the 20s, and we don't know, maybe not, we don't know what that 2025 would have been. And you're trying to win now here. So I think if you rank it, I like the Miami deal better than what Philadelphia, you know, had offered, you know, on Saturday.
I was, as we go here, I'm going to just say, take yourself back to draft night 2017. The Wolves trade for Jimmy Butler. They're about to go into the free agent market, where they spend a bunch of money on Jeff Teague and Taj Gibson, and they're, you know, putting those against their young guys, and, you know, saying that we're going to go be a contender with this group. And also on draft night, Philadelphia makes the move to jump up a couple of spots to get Markelle Fultz, and starts cashing in their, you know, their hoard of picks, you know, and assets. And here we are, what, 18, not even 18 months later, 17 months later, and Butler is gone, and Minnesota is sort of picking up the pieces, and Philly has now gone through a lot of their assets, and they're better, but I don't think any of the three of us think they're one of the two best teams in the East. It's interesting the way that's gone.
I thought you were going to give a shout out to my pals Garn Pax too, B.
Well, I mean,
draft night,
I think
2017.
Well, right. I mean, I think it all depends on what marketing becomes, really. But, you know, LaVine is whatever. I mean, I don't think anybody feels great about any of that.
Right.
I know that the Bulls got hammered that night, and I think that they've improved on that. But I still don't think that the Bulls are going to say, "Oh yeah, where everything's great for us." I think it's, the more reality is that now Jimmy, within 2 years, has been traded twice, with chemistry problems being a major factor, and I don't think that's irrelevant.
Well, and to that point, I think that's the key, at least from the Bulls' perspective moving forward, is, you know, we'll see what marketing becomes. But they didn't want to build around Jimmy and give him all that money. They didn't want him to be that guy, because they were never sure how he was going to fit as the number one guy in a locker room full of younger players. And now all of a sudden, Philly, who has Embiid and Simmons, is going to bring Jimmy in and give him supposedly all this money and commit to him moving forward. I don't see the fit there, and I think time will show that this is just not going to be an end the way that Philly wants it to.
Well, and I think it shows you that this business is that if you make one or two mistakes, that it's an unforgiving business. And it's like almost, you know, it's almost like you're playing cards.
You know, you got a stack of chips in front of you, and you see those chips going down. You know, you lose a hand.
That's a good comparison.
And then all of a sudden, you're like, you know what? I need to push these chips to get back what I lost before. And I think with Philadelphia is that they saw their window. Although Simmons and Embiid are still in the prime of their career, I mean, they saw their window basically as up now until the summer of 19 to add a third player to the what you already had. And they went out and did it, and now we just got to see how it works out.
Andrew, you know that feeling of your chips step dwindling.
No, I've never experienced that.
Andrew, what are we supposed to do if we're listeners to this podcast?
We're supposed to subscribe, rate, and review. If you can do that, that'd be great.
All right. Well, thanks guys for joining us on the weekend. I know Nick, you had a game. Did you have a game last night? No, you didn't. You just had a party night.
Game. No. I had my mom is still in town helping me move. Yeah.
Indy, No. You hear me say no. Right. All right. Bobby, thank you for stepping on with your expertise. Nick, thanks for your tips, expertise. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back early next week with the Small Sample Size Theater. One of our favorite annual events here on the Hoop Collective with Kevin Arnovitz and Kevin Pelton. Thanks for listening.